Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Hello. This is actually the first lecture, but the second hour of the 22nd American ACC. Now, I want to talk to you about why cases don't move. Very important. Cases are your business. I have never been impressed with some of the things you do. ACC students and staff auditors, what would happen to you if you really invaded the privacy of a preclair? Would you blow up? Would he then turn around and invade your privacy? Well, if that's the case, get rid of your withholds. I'm going to call your attention to two things here, and the first is HCO Bulletin, December 15th, 1960, pre-session 37. You needn't clatter paper and try to find it, because I'll tell you more about it than is on this sheet in about 2 seconds. The other one is HCO Bulletin of October 13th, 1960, script of a model session. And I don't want you to learn these cold. I want you to learn these hot, hot, hot. That goes for you too, staff auditors. Hot. 1 minute after the lecture, if you ever make any mistakes after that in the script of a model session, even if you don't know it, I'll do something desperate. I'm telling you flat out that these, at the moment, are your most important items. The second we got a model session and a script for it, we standardized auditing so that a PC could be audited by more than one auditor with a minimum of consequence. But it did more than that. It made auditing very smooth, and old-timers who had begun to be shy of the chitter-chatter and clumsiness of some auditors began to be perfectly willing to be audited by brand-new graduated HCA-HPAs. It was such a pleasure. The session was predictable. The person did what he was supposed to do. He carried on nicely and smoothly. A guy could relax and be audited, not sit in the auditing chair on the verge of teaching the auditor how to audit. Got the idea? The only trouble I ever have from auditors, they'll stop halfway through a session and ask me a technical question, you know. They do. They have to make me negate then against my hat as an instructor, don't you see? I say, no, I'm not going to tell you how to audit while I'm being audited. Well, that denies my role as an instructor, see? But this minimizes that kind of thing and is very important. And just because we have a pre-session does not minimize the importance of a model session. And just because we run Dianetically certain incidents does not mean we run them outside a model session type of activity. You got it? We use a model session even if we Dianetically audit. We still bridge in and bridge out, no matter what else we say. Now, the model session has nothing to do with commands, and you all for years and years and years have been memorizing commands slavishly. And you think the only thing you have to know anything about is commands. But that is not true. The script is as important as the commands. You know, this was out for some time, and people all over central organizations and so forth thought, isn't that interesting, and hadn't bothered to learn it just because of their automaticity and memorizing commands and thinking commands were important. Believe me, this model session is important. Now, the reason I jumped the importance of a model session down your throats to this degree is because, of course, I have had some little upsets with it. And one of the upsets is people believe that if you have pre-sessions, then a model session isn't important. But in view of the fact that the word pre-session was first used to make muzzled auditing possible in a class, and for some other reasons, there's some misinterpretation of this word now, and I'm going to clarify for you several words here. A pre-session is run without a model session, but this doesn't say that you don't start or get the PC's permission to start, but you tend to your knitting and do your business without regard to what the PC is yapping about. You got the idea? It's kind of muzzled. You just go in and do it. It doesn't mean sloppy auditing. It means this is all you're going to do. Well, the only allowable pre-session, there are two allowable pre-sessions today, are 1 and 37 as such. But you will find a lot of havingness and confront commands were earlier listed under the heading of pre-sessions. They are used today only in the field of regimens. So remember that pre-session has had an alteration of its definition, and when you see pre-sessions 2 to 36, it's simply a definition. It isn't something you can use as such. The pre-sessions you can use as such are 1 and 37. The way you use pre-session 1, of course, that's help, control, communicate, interest. And you just cover these subjects with the person because he's so new to being audited. He doesn't really want auditing. He's sort of upset about the whole thing. You're trying to groove him in. So you discuss whether or not he can be helped and whether or not he could help you. You got the idea? You discuss whether or not all control is bad and if it'd be bad, you know, for him to answer the questions you ask him and so on. It's a discussion sort of an activity and would be used on a brand new person. And you'd simply discuss these four items of help, control, communication, and interest. No, as crudely as asking him to define these things or what do these things mean to him. You got the idea? But you get him thinking in these lines. That's what pre-session one is all about. It's the subject of a much earlier bulletin, and it is the same as that bulletin says. There's no alteration there at all. But pre-session 37 is scheduled to get out of the way all the reasons the PC won't talk to you, and all the most fruitful sources of future present time problems. It's sort of, let's run all the present time problems now. If he has a present time problem of asthma or a psychosomatic or because he's afraid that he's going to stab his boss in the back any minute with a penknife, that's the subject of a Dianetic activity in the meter. Got it? And you can get that out of the road. But if you have a pencil, mark my words, just this. Don't you dare ever run a formula until pre-session 37 is flat. Invade their privacy if you, a Thetan, have to crawl inside their ruddy heads. Most of their great difficulties in life will fold up on pre-session 37 in the zone of present time problems and so forth. And if you ran off this man's immediate goal Dianetically, you still run pre-session 37 flat, and he'll find that he's getting rid of problems he didn't even know he had. Okay? Now, pre-session 37 gets rid of the basic reason why he has to justify all the time. Now, formula 13, which is the one run after this, then further eradicates all incipient present-time problems the individual has. You got it? He just machine-gun and beat this thing to death, this idea. You're straightening out his environment. Actually, by the time you've straightened out his environment, he may sometimes wonder why he's being audited. You know, everything is running beautifully now. His environment is all straightened out. Yeah, it's going to run beautifully until he falls on his head next week.
He's going to stay better all the way along the line. He'll be better, but he certainly hasn't gotten rid of the things that are really causing him trouble and caused him to have all these present-time problems. Present-time problems are simply the demonstration of the disease. And you get rid of all the demonstrations of the disease. Now, Dianetically, you get rid of some of the causes, too, when you run against a special goal. You know, running a lock or an engram or something like this, some overt this lifetime, preferably. You can get rid of something causative. But auditing on the basis, the wide, broad basis of the regimen, takes care of the whole ruddy track. It really gets to the source and root of things, see? That gets them out of the road with pneumatic drills. That gets to the bottom of things. But you can't get to the bottom of the things if the preclear is obsessively floating on top. Got it? There's so much salt in Salt Lake City, Salt Lake, that you can't sink, they tell me. This impressed me as a little boy. But it's all that salt up toward the surface there that makes it so he can't go backtrack. Now, somebody who says he has never had any experience on the backtrack at all,
he doesn't have any reality on the backtrack.
Has only told you that he doesn't have any reality away from PT. He is obsessively held in PT by worries and concerns about PT and would have total reality on the backtrack if he dared take his attention off PT and look. You understand that? This reality factor is not something that is da-di-da and it's all in the field of philosophy. Reality is determined by the number of attention units a person has to put upon something. This table is as solid to people as they can look at it. A fellow who has just received news of his father's death is not about to be able to look at this table and find it very solid because his total attention is pinned in the area of being told about his father's death, onto which has collapsed all his overts against his father. Got it? So therefore, he looks at this table and it looks thin. He can darn near look through it because he hasn't enough attention to put on it. His attention is absorbed elsewhere. And unreality is totally monitored by the amount of attention a person feels he is able to place on something safely. You know, if he considered something terribly dangerous, he'd never see it at all. You know, the American public at large can't see an atom bomb. They don't. In a theater, maybe they're different today, but I don't think they are. But a year or two ago, if you showed an atom bomb on the screen in the theater, the audience wasn't there, was walking out, and actually, they just, it's a total non-confront, don't you see? You expect them to do something about an atom bomb. They're not going to do anything about an atom bomb. How can they do anything about something they can't put any attention on? It's a Frankenstein monster that's gotten loose in the world that's going to tramp everybody underfoot, see? Nobody can confront the thing, so it isn't real. Got it? Now, if a PC has his attention on preventing you from finding out all the things he's been up to which are discreditable, he hasn't got any time to make anything real either. And if you are a danger to him in that you're liable to find out, you will become very unreal to him too. And he's liable to complain about you as an auditor if he can see you at all. He hasn't got an auditor because you're liable to find out. Therefore, he can't confront you. All his attention is absorbed on the bank and keeping you from finding out something, even though these things are set up automatically. They're set up as an automaticity. He's automatically withholding everything. Well, what chance has he got to put anything out there if all of his strength and attention is on holding something in here? Let's look at the vectors involved. The fellow is pulling back a tremendous quantity of things. His attention is fixated on keeping these things pulled back. Now, how can he look out there? If his attention is all going this way, then how can he put any attention out that way to see anything? And you'd be amazed how thin the world looks to somebody who has a lot of width holes. It looks thin. Some people, even the walls are angry at them. The walls are inflowing at them. Of course, that's a mechanical proposition. I imagine an individual who has just had a big wall fall on him would go away from there with the impression that walls inflow. And for a little while, he'd have trouble because he'd walk into walls. He'd actually bump into walls. He wouldn't see them. Yeah, but that's dangerous because walls fall on you. So obviously the rational thing is don't walk into walls. Yeah, but in actuality, he will walk into walls. The fellow who has had the most trouble with marriage gets married the fastest. You know, there are guys around that can't keep from getting married. In fact, I think there's one fellow on earth who is in this situation. He's dead. I'm just joking. But marital trouble generally stems out of the fact that somebody knows it's very dangerous to be married, so he can't see the person he is being married to, so he is mad at the people he has been married to, and he has no reality on the person he is married to. You got the idea? And if you've had any marital difficulty, one of your complaints against your marital partner is the fact that they never saw you, didn't know what you were doing, and didn't understand what you were saying, right? Well, that's unreality. Pure and simple unreality. The inflow is so great that the individual can't put his attention out. You following me? How do you expect anybody is going to get audited, regardless of PT problems, which absorb their attention hard enough, if he's afraid the auditor's going to find out something? The auditor is very unreal to him. Therefore, the auditor has no command or control over him. The auditor isn't there. How can he control him? Criminals are quite interesting this way. They have these tremendous withholds from society, so it's all right to kill old women and shoot babies and anything else. It's all right, because they're not real. They're not there. The more heavy withholds they've got, the less real the world becomes. You get down to a mockery of a thetan. Any thetan can look through a wall. These guys haven't got a wall to look through. Now, the source of the dimness and unreality of the universe stems directly and immediately from, totally and entirely from, withholds. Now, you think I'm speaking very accusatively. If I didn't love you so much, I wouldn't be so snarly. I want you to win. I want very badly for you to win. Now, every case where these processes and the things I'm telling you about have been run on, not where the auditor was told the process and then went and figgle-faggled and did something else with the PC, you know, not that. But every case where the actual process was run on the PC and nothing else, and it was done well, and it was done with a good model session, and it was on the ball, or it was done with a proper pre-session, and then later on taken up with a model session, and it was very routine, regular auditing, nothing super spectacular, that person has not only gotten off the launching pad, but has sailed on up toward getting clear. And it was the number of hours that could be put in on the case that determined whether or not the person got clear. You got it? Well, therefore, I'm very earnest with you today. I'm very earnest about this. I am trying to assure you that if you will do these things, and do these things properly, you're going to become the cockiest people on earth. Auditing a person who has heavy withholds is the most fruitless activity there is, because it's another case of the PT problem. The person has a continuous PT problem that the auditor is liable to find out. It's a highly specialized kind of PT problem. And if the auditor is liable to find out, Why, of course, he can't communicate to the auditor because he's interested in pulling in. Now, lots of people's facsimiles are stacked up on their faces because they're trying to hide them. They're trying to hold them in. You know, if they hold them in hard enough, nobody will see them, so they keep mocked up all the time and held in. Satans are nuts. Now, look here. I want you to win. You have every chance of winning. There is nothing against your winning here at all. Even if you have present time problems in the environment, this still can't keep you from winning, either as an auditor or as a case. That I assure you. So get this stuff down. Now, a year ago, we were close up on top of this. Only the material I gave you was monitored by this. If a case can run this material, he will get clear. Got it? If the case could run this material, he'd get clear. I'm not telling you that now. The clearing percentage of other auditors got up to, with me doing assessments, what ACC was that, the 20th? 19th ACC? Got up to something on the order of about 25%, of which several were not stable. Now, I didn't follow or pursue this along very hard because I saw there were some other factors involved here, and I was going for the bigger percentage. And going for it hard and heavy, there were certain things that were stepping in people's road here. And what were they? And we went off into an almost two-year investigation on the subject of whether a PC should be at cause or run at cause, or if anything could be done to a PC that was really harmful. Anything could be done to a Thetan that was harmful that he himself hadn't done in the first place. You got the idea? All kinds of research in this direction and responsibilities and OWs and all kinds of things were developed after that time, right? And I jumped the percentage, and the percentage kept going up. The percentage of gains. Now, I'm not telling you because it has not been done. All of the people of Earth are not clear, so therefore it hasn't been done. You see, and we wouldn't have any license saying you can clear everybody on Earth. You see, that would not be a justified statement demonstrated. But this is a justified statement. You can get every case started and bring it up to a stable gain. Every case. And that's the win we're dealing with. Now, if you can get them started, it logically pursues, probably, that you can clear them if you had enough time. You got the idea? Because the improvements just continue. But this has not been demonstrated. Well, this other's been demonstrated, but you can get them all off the launching pad. Cases South Africa were the roughest cases in the world by my experience. We had had these cases scattered through central organizations and so forth for a long time, and it had become a byword, the South African case. It was rougher, believe it or not, than the English case, although they probably won't believe that in London. Well, the South African case was the roughest one to undercut. We've been undercutting them. We got no misses. We got no misses. Yeah, but how many cases is this? Well, I don't know. I lost count. Dozens and dozens and dozens. Now, the last 3 weeks of the first St. Hill, we had those cases taped. Some of them didn't crack until the last day or so. We were quite heartbroken that we didn't have another 6 weeks ACC to throw them all into. But we had undercut them, and we had gotten them off the launching pad, don't you see? We'd actually made these cases improve and move. Now, since that time, I've been taking the data I found there and have been applying it generally to cases fresh off the street, old failed cases in Scientology, in the area of the world which has the roughest cases. You get what's happened here? Well, I'm telling you now nothing I am dreaming up while I'm sitting here talking to you. I'm just giving you straight clinical data from the HGC Johannesburg. I went down there and studied for about 2 months to bring up the general technology. Now, you're being taught, then, materials strafe off the first St. Hill and from Johannesburg. And the only variation I have any cause to suspect, I think all these things would work fine, for instance, on the United Kingdom case. I know they will. But I think to go to clear, some control also has to be introduced after we've got all this. In other words, we've got to put some SCS and a specialized basis on the United Kingdom case. You got the idea? We got to run some. Now, we're going to go for broke, and we're not going to monkey around with it, so I say, well, we'll run 45 hours of SCS and some having this process located out of the early pre-sessions, and then 5 hours of op-pro by dupe as soon as the individual is finished with pre-session 37 and his formulas. As soon as he's finished with that stage, we're going to find he's having this, and then we're going to go 50 hours on control. Okay? Sounds extreme, doesn't it? Of course, I've become impatient. Because I find out the biggest difficulty there is as soon as you introduce a process, can be dodged slightly, the United Kingdom PC is liable to dodge it. Different, slightly different. I haven't had this much trouble in America. But Williams is introducing into Ewan's rundown a little test about control. And if the PC doesn't pass it, you're going to be doing 10, 15 hours of SCS. Okay? Now, that's that. And it is introduced into this rundown at this time that a control process is necessary after the help process to make sure that the PC is not on an inverted control. Now, I'll give you a very brief statement here of where a PC sits. Interest, communication, control, help, failed help, inverted help, inverted control, inverted communication, inverted interest. Now, you'll know where you are on that scale. You've got that scale. Now, you know where you are on that scale if at inverted interest you have all these weird interests, such as, oh, I just can't get love to strangle chickens. Got the idea? I just am absolutely fascinated. I just can't. Oh, it's just marvelous. It's just marvelous and marvelous, you know. If you just steal enough girls' slippers and put them in the upper left-hand drawer of the desk. Got the idea? If you just collect enough stamps, somebody will put one on you and send you. Now, this is no curse against the philatelist. I like to look at the lions, tigers, and African elephants and things they put on stamps. I think the person, however, should be more than a philatelist to be president. That's just a personal political opinion. Sorry to interject it with this statement. Now, here's interest. If Freud did report a bunch of weird interests that people had, that type of interest is down there, inverted interest. Now, at inverted communication, you've seen this, you get a disassociation. You ask the person question A, and he answers question G. You get that? This is really extreme, see? This is an inverted communication line. It's not that he alters or thinks you said something else occasionally, so forth. It's the disassociation factor. Also well known in the field of neurosis and psychosis, you see, disassociation. Individual doesn't know where he is, goes flying around this room and says, what am I doing in a lion's cage? You know, or you say to him, would you like to sit down? Would you like to sit down? And he says, I can't stand altitude. I can't stand it. You get how off beam this communication line is. Well, control can be that offbeat, but because it's getting up closer and isn't as low, it isn't quite as noticeable. You say to a person, put this piece of paper on the desk, and they wad it up and put it in their pocket. Now, he's at perfect liberty to make up his mind that you're not his boss, so therefore, there is no reason he shouldn't put it in his pocket. Now, that's perfectly logical and will happen every now and then, of course. I'm talking about the fellow that every time you say anything the equivalent of put the piece of paper on the chair or the desk, he has to do something else. It's an absolute necessity to do something else. And you run into this in auditing, that you ask an auditing question, and the individual always thinks in some other way or answers something else. Every order is an alter is. Now, that's what we mean by inverted control. Now, when you have a tremendously overwhelmingly forceful process, such as stripping off withholds or failed help or something like this, the individual can't save himself. He's got to answer it. See, you can actually bring it down on him to a point where he will answer it. His interest, then, is in trying to keep you from making him answer it and so forth, but he does it anyhow, and you've overwhelmed his inverted control. And you still might be able to strip off a lot of withholds, and you still might be able to run a lot of failed help, and still find the individual out of auditing control the moment you run something less forceful. Got it? So we have to watch that factor in clearing, because you can move up into the regimens and find the PC a bit out of control. So you have to make sure that before you move into the regimens, you haven't got a PC that's out of control. Okay? If he is out of control, you remedy it if you can. Okay? Pre-session 37 is done in the following fashion. And aside from the fact that you might possibly think you have to do some Dianetics, it doesn't matter whether the Dianetics are done really before or after pre-session 37, for your interest, as far as this course is concerned only. You're going to be running pre-session 37 for blood. For blood. E-meter sensitivity at 16. The needle quivers when you ask him a question. Not flat. The needle quivers occasionally when you ask him a question. Not flat. I mean, when you ask him this question of something I shouldn't ask you. Now, the bones of this process are just as given in HCOB, December 15, 1960, pre-session 37. The auditor runs, what question shouldn't I ask you, for a few times? And then the auditor runs, think of something you've done, think of something you withheld, alternated for a short time, maximum 5 minutes. You run the maximum 5 minutes. Think of something you've done. Thank you. Think of something you withheld. Thank you. Think of something you've done. Thank you. Think of something you withheld. Thank you. You could be running. Tell me something you've done. Tell me something you withheld. See, but any case that you're having a little hard trouble with, you'd better run this think. So for this class, we will standardize it as think. You got the idea? I'm telling you, there's no great stress, tremendous stress on this point, but just for the sake of standardization, we're going to think of something you've done, think of something you withheld. And then we's going to ask him about that withhold. And every time we get a withhold off, or every time we get some of these off, very few times, Why, we're going to go back to think of something you've done, think of something you withheld. All right, now let's look at this thing. What question shouldn't I ask you? Now, if there's any impatience in my voice when I discuss any of this, it stems totally from having to actually crowd this down on HGC auditors and so on the hard way. Because they persist in making this mistake. Even though they're told that this must be varied as a question so as to trap the PC into answering it, they still sit there and chant, "What question shouldn't I ask you? Thank you." And ask the question, and then, "What question shouldn't I ask you?" And the PC says, "Well, you shouldn't ask me, I'm a virgin." They say, "Fine, are you a virgin?" And the PC says, "No, I'm not a virgin." And and they say, "Well, all right, what question shouldn't I ask you?" And the PC says, "Well, you shouldn't ask me if I like automobiles." And the auditor says, "Well, do you like automobiles?" And the fellow says, "Yes, I like automobiles," and so forth. And after you've seen this go on for a very short time, you say, "What the hell?" Because the whole theory of what you're trying to do is totally violated. You want to get the things this guy isn't going to tell you. And the guy can answer this question as a total dodge. And if you sit there chanting it time after time after time, it becomes, as such, just a dodge. And you never do get the withholds off. And it's a wonderful way of never invading anybody's privacy. Got it? So what we're trying to do is make absolutely certain that this PC is not harboring a datum that he considers discreditable, that he isn't going to let us find out about. And you would be amazed, ladies and gentlemen, how many things there are. And it isn't just one withhold, ever. 675 would be a small number in lots of cases. But do you know that Mary Sue kept running into this. The only trouble she was having was getting in the PC for an interview. The PC was making no advance with the auditor. PT problem, see, was the auditor's liable to find out. And getting in the PC, and the auditor says, "Well, I've gotten all the withholds off the case, and I can't understand why the case isn't advancing." Of course, Mary Sue had looked down the PC's throat and said, "What aren't you telling the auditor, you know?" And the needle falls off the pin. "Well, that I stole a car in 1948. Mary Sue says, "All right, thank you, you stole a car in 1948. Turns around to the auditor and says, when the PC's gone, and says, "How did you miss it? How? You know, please, how did you miss it?" "Well, I don't know. I kept asking him if there's anything he didn't want to talk to me about, and so on. And he just kept saying, well, yes, there were things he didn't want to talk to me about, and so we never got any further." But this was true of the advancing cases. They fell into these two categories, one that had a pressing PT problem, the other that had a tremendous withhold. The other category, actually, there was another category. The person didn't know enough about auditing to sit still and answer any question. They didn't think, you know, there was anything to it, and so on. They hadn't been grooved in any way there. That's when you use something like pre-session one. You kind of groove them in a little bit and that sort of thing, and then you dive on pre-session 37. Find out about it. In some of these cases, they've run some failed help and then run pre-session 37 just to get the person grooved in. But failed help in that category is pre-session 1, not formulas. Person said, "Well, I helped all kinds of people, and that answers your question. And then it wouldn't answer any further questions. You know, green resistive PCs, they require very special arduous handling, but you're not handling that type of PC right now. You're not maybe going to miss on the PT problem and the goal. The individual says, well, I've had migraine headaches for 15 years, and I'm always trying to get audited. My auditing is totally devoted to solving my migraine headaches. That's not a withhold, that's a goal. The individual's then going to run things in order to get rid of migraine headache, and the PC is running all sorts of processes, but is running them all to solve the migraine headache, so it's a PT problem. That's the time to take your little old E-meter. Let's knock out the migraine headache and get rid of that nonsense. The next nonsense we're going to run into is the auditor might find out. And then, of course, might tell somebody. And that would be the end of me. You say, well, there are some people around who have heavy withholds. And they're the ones that don't make good case gains. And these are just special cases. And there are some cases that have heavy withholds. Now, if you've made up your mind like that, you've not run anything like pre-session 37 very long on very many PCs. Because they all got withholds. Now, you're liable to fall into this trap. Well, I told them all to my last auditor. Yeah, so the auditor says, well, that's good. Then you're all through with that. All right, we'll get on to the formulas then. No, thank you. The rule, which isn't given in this bulletin, is as follows. The rule is as follows. If the needle wiggles, get it off. Got it? If the needle wiggles on a withhold, get it off. Got it? Now, how many ways can you ask this question, what question shouldn't I ask you? Because just a phrase like that, it can be dodged. This is a pre-session. So therefore, this isn't really a repetitive question. It isn't just a sing-song repetitive question that goes along and finally you come out the other end and after you've done it for 2 hours, everybody's supposed to be well and Ron's supposed to be happy. No, you're looking for withholds, and this is simply the leader question. This is the basic question. What question shouldn't I ask you? Is that just a leader? There are other things. Is there anything you wouldn't like to tell me? Got it? Is there anything you wouldn't like to tell me? What would embarrass you that you've done? What would embarrass you to talk to me about? What would you find embarrassing to discuss with me about your case? Got the types of questions? Have you ever done anything you thought was discreditable? Not as a repetitive question, because that's a whole process all by itself. Another thing is when did your life sort of change? This is a sort of a Dianetic cross-up with this, you know, but it's still getting off a withhold. When did your life sort of change and so forth? Well, fella says my life changed in 1947. All right, what secret did you start to hold on to at that time? Yipes! Funny part of it is they very often don't even know they're withholding it. Now, here's the next thing. Vary the question is the rule I'm trying to get across to you so that it does the job of getting off the withhold. You got it? Now, there's no telling how smart you're going to have to be to vary that question. There's no telling. But you have infinite cleverness and my confidence. Okay? I just gave you infinite cleverness. Thank you. Now, the next thing about this is you're going to run into a non-discharge of the secondary occasionally. It almost becomes a Dianetic situation. The person spills grief and everything else, you see. Well, get in there and kind of run it. You got the idea? You know, I'll say, well, tell me again, go over it again, so on. Now, the next thing is, it isn't true that every PC knows all of his withholds for this lifetime. And if you think that he consciously knows them all at the moment he's sitting there being audited, you're making a mistake. He's liable to come back the next session with a, whoa, whoa, and sits down. I better tell you, I didn't remember it. On my word, I didn't remember it. I haven't thought about it, apparently, from that day to this. But I killed a man in 1951. I had never thought about it from that day to this. Believe him. He's got that withheld so strongly that not even he's in on it. And you can expect something like that to occur while running pre-session 37. Because you're going to run, think of something you've done, think of something you withheld, and that just jars up the bank, see? Now, a lot of this early auditing is non-grind. That is to say, you've got a few times you're going to put to him some variation of what question shouldn't I ask you? Well, that's no grind, is it? And then you're going to come back onto this other, and you're going to run a maximum of 5 minutes of think of something you've done, think of something you withheld. Maybe only 3 minutes, you see? And then you're going back over onto this question line. Well, it isn't a matter of me telling you the time to run it. I just tell you it's briefly, because you'll get smart enough to be able to tell how long to run it. You got this individual kind of worked down thin. The material is suddenly thin. You say, what question shouldn't I ask? You say, well, I'll give you another variation. If the police came in that door at this moment, what would you hate to have them find out? Well, that gets it. So it isn't what question or what withhold would it upset you to have me know about. That is not the basic question, you see. It's what withhold have you got that would be upsetting to you to have found out by me or the police or society or your mother or your father or so forth. So we're taking in withholds from one and all in this lifetime. You got the idea? Because some PCs say, well, it's all right, I can tell you because you're my friend. That's true, that's fine, that's all right. But they're still sitting there saying, it's a good thing the police don't know it. Well, that isn't up to you to send them over and tell the police. But let's bring this vividly to view that they are doing a withhold from the society and the police, too, by asking them such variations on the thing. Now, we ask this question a few times. We say a few times. We say, well, is there anything that you think you're withholding now? And the individual says, not from you. You say, well, all right, who are you withholding it from? Well, I've been telling them and so forth. From my wife, yes, I'm withholding it from my wife. Well, what would you hate to have your wife know about you? Now, this has put it over into another perimeter, and even though you're the auditor running them and they're telling you, it actually works the charge off on telling their wife. If you phrase it in that fashion, see? So you want all of their withholds from this lifetime. Now, there was a fellow who has been doing confession all of his lifetime. You know, he's been doing confessionals. He gets this all mixed up with confessions. And he said, well, it's all right to tell you because you're not a priest. Your immediate type of response to that thing is, what would a priest hate to find out about you? What have you withheld in a confession, you know? Oh! Never did anything else. Never did open my mouth. Used to go over and make up some things in the confession box. Well, what were you withholding? Oh, I don't know, robbery of the church or something. Some minor crime. You see, this playing off the withholds is playing them off in all quarters, to all people. See? You don't want just the withholds from you, even though it's defined as get the person to talk to the auditor. Let's just get the withholds off and anything that connotates. Now, we're not going to send him over to call long-distance telephone to call his mother in Milwaukee and tell his mother, well, I stole an egg from you when I was 12. That's nonsense, because that's doingness, and that's handling the present time problem of the withhold with doingness. And just as you don't let a PC get up and call his lawyer in the middle of running the PT problem of being sued, so you don't put into action the fact that he must do something. You see, a present time problem or a withhold is flat, and the person doesn't think he has to do anything about it. Answers the question, when is a present time problem flat? When are withholds discharged and gone? Now, you're going to find yourself maybe with four or five petty withholds. You know, the individual gives you four or five petty withholds, and then you turn around and run something you've done, something you've withheld. Good, see? I mean, that's fine. You run that for a little while, and then get some more little withholds and so on. And then all of a sudden, you get this, gee whiz, whew, withhold, you know? No. Oh, I don't know. I shouldn't tell you that. What? I'm not going to tell you. Who would you tell? This is fishing, see? Anything goes. Let's fish up this withhold, see? All of a sudden said, well, all right. All right. For years and years, more years than I can tell. I've been unfaithful to my doctor. I've been taking up Scientology. Or something very serious. Something very serious. Individual says, well, I've been actually cheating on my husband for the last 8 years. And I... All right, you're the first person I've told. Okay, I mean, that's it. I mean, all right, so I did. Justified. He was no good. He's so forth and so on. Well, now, look, you haven't discharged a withhold. You've just got into the first edges of it. Now, it isn't you've got to run responsibility on all of these things or do anything of that character. No, but you just got to find out who he's withholding all this from. Who else is he withholding it from? You got the idea? And you find out he's withholding from this one and that one and the other one and the other one and the other one and somebody else. And you just work that withhold half to death, don't you see? And then work it all the way to death. And that might take you 15, 20 minutes to get that withhold out. The person is finally grief on it and so forth and that sort of thing. Well, you don't suddenly knock it off and run, think of something you've done, think of something you withheld. See, you work the withhold down. But don't let it go into hours. You got it? That's silly. Just work the edge of the thing off and think of something you've done, think of something you withheld, and you'll pull some of the underpinnings and the locks off of the thing and come back and hit it again. See? Make sure that it's out. And then after you've gone past it and they say, well, thank God he's forgotten all about that, you say, how about these affairs? You're still withholding about these affairs, you see? And then you take that old sensitivity up here to about 16, and you say, how about, there we are, now how about these affairs? Oh. Well, who's that a withhold from? My mother, if she ever found out, she'd kill me. I just remembered, you know. She used to tell me all the time when I was a little girl that I mustn't err or depart off of the straight and narrow path. Oh, so it's a withhold from your mother, huh? You recall ever withholding that from your mother? Oh, yes. All right, good enough. Withholding it from anybody else? Well, I was withholding it from you that I would actually practically die of shame if you were ever to mention it to her. Well, all right, that's good, that's fine. Now, how are you doing about that now? Sensitivity's up here at 16, see? Well, how are you doing about that now? How do you feel about this fair and so on? It's not a good problem. Get the idea? You can expect these things to pick up latent charge. They weren't responsible for them this morning. Yesterday morning, they didn't feel very responsible for them. They got to thinking about them overnight, and they say, wow, that's a hell of a thing to do, to withhold it from all those people all that time. You got it? All right, that's the way I want you to work them out, and I don't want you to have anybody in this unit, and I don't want auditors any place to try auditing people who are giving most of their attention to trying to go out of communication with the auditor. I assure you, it doesn't pay. Thank you.